welcome to The Herb Doctor with Katrina Hegarty here and Dr. Dealish Clare. Hi, Dealish.
Hi, Katrina.
So let's kind of have a quick look and a quick chat back on The Herb Doctor podcast. How are you doing about everything so far?
Well, I'm enjoying it and I find it very satisfying because I have all of these things going around in my head that I think, gosh, if only people could share in that understanding, it would open doors for them. So I think education and opening doors and getting beyond stereotypes and prejudices to do with medicine, I think that's what's been a core part of my practice for the last 25 years. So very happy to share it to the wider audience and very grateful to have. Talking with you, Katrina, has made it very easy. You know, I can judge from your comments and even your facial expressions how the person on the street might be accepting some of this. And I like to go from the very simple traditional knowledge of, you know, your granny would know this and these things are in your wayside, and the more systematic approach that I think people don't know about, and the complexities of the herbal actions and constituents and everything. So knowing a background to all of that and sharing it, the podcast is about sharing, communication, community. I loved the feedback for one particular episode that I was able to, a listener had three problems and I was able to combine them, the whole three together. So how has it been for you, Katrina?
Do you know what? I have to say it's been really interesting from a learning aspect on all levels. I have to say, David, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, from a technical point of view, I've been learning, from a recording point of view, I've been learning, and also from your content, I've been learning. I feel so much more, you know, now I'm being a bit more careful about what I'm looking at, and I'm learning from your content. I'm learning to be a bit more kinder to myself with regards to herbal medicine, you know, learning a bit more about them. And that's what I'm taking from it as a listener as well. You know, this is a huge learning curve for the both of us when it comes to recording, you know, my first time doing something massively big like this with you. And it's a brilliant learning experience and I'm really enjoying it. Yes, I do understand that I need to kind of structure it a little bit better and we need to kind of do a bit more kind of podcasting stuff with it, which is going to happen now that we've had a better understanding of making these podcasts. When it comes to topics, I love that you talk about loads of different things and related to the listener out there, about our topic today in a few minutes, we'll talk about that. But, you know, we all suffer from certain, all sorts of things. And, you know, you're just kind of, I'm taking it that you're bringing it down into a level, not say level, but a bite-sized kind of thing for us.
Action plans. I can vouch for the fact that Katrina has a very wide range of herbal teas, which is a great place to start, and especially for today's topic. So Bean is going to introduce it now.
Well, today's tea is focus tea and there's mango in it and that's all I know. I should have taken the pack over with me, but, you know, I think learning about teas, like nettle tea, I want to start drinking nettle tea. So that's something that you could talk about, learning the effects of nettle tea and different things like that. Plus, you know, there's loads of different topics that, you know, that we should touch on. We also want to introduce more people that are experts into the conversation. We want to have people chat to us. We want people to tell us what's worked for them, what hasn't. Different things that we, you know, I want this to be a learning journey for all of us, you know, and I think that would be really exciting for us all to learn more about this subject and that not to be afraid of it, really.
Yeah.
You know,
I love anytime I'm doing a herb walk or a class or teaching, or my patients, when they say that this might sound like a stupid question, I know that this is going to be a good one. Okay. So what people might, first of all, wonder why I'm combining sleep and anxiety. And it's because very few patients come into me with insomnia who aren't anxious. And if they are not a worrier, fretful, anxious person, throughout their lives, and many of us are, and this is not an illness. This is what we would call a constitution. It has many positive factors associated with it as well. It's not a judgment or anything. It's just how people experience life. But also people can get insomnia secondary to other conditions. But no matter what the reason, if you've had insomnia and sleep problems for any length of time, you'll become anxious, right? It's part of one of the things about menopause, poor sleeping, leading to anxiety, leading to all sorts of other things. We don't know why we sleep. Science has answered for many, many questions. But one of them that has never been answered is why we sleep. It is essential. We can't live without sleep. And we do know certain things about it, such as that it profoundly regulates cellular immunity, and the curtailment of sleep leads to disruption of neuroimmune and hormone interactions. So we know that all of those things, immunity, neurological functioning and hormone interactions, are things that influence every cell in the body.
So it's people that would be trouble falling asleep.
Yeah.
People that would have trouble waking up. People that would, you know, worried, you know, worry sleeping. There's certain things like that as well.
Yeah. There's a couple of common kind of things, understandings about sleep. I cover the herbs that I use commonly for sleep will address any or all of those factors. All right. Some of them more one part or another part or the other. But I'm talking about the general population and general sleep problems. So, and I'm talking about all ages, both genders, different times of life. So we're talking about a very general approach. But because we're using 10 herbs, we will generally have something in there for all of these different patterns. All right. People talk about sleep hygiene, which I always think is such a weird thing, way to describe a pattern of sleep. So, because I don't know anybody who has unhygienic sleep, if you know what I mean. But anyway, so things that are important for everybody is to make sure the environment is not too hot, too cold, that it's just right. There's two things that can be a problem for couples. One is snoring, and the other is that there's different, people have different needs for warmth, weight of blankets, window open, window closed. So all of those things, you need to kind of negotiate and get good consensus between the people as to what's the best to suit everybody. That's a very common issue for people. Complexity of pain is like other conditions. Pain is the commonest one, especially sore hips or shoulders, because as you roll over, you wake yourself up. Even if people have generalized pain, they can do kind of micro awakenings where they wake up in the morning and they don't remember waking up, but they've actually gone through the different layers of sleep and have to reset it, and that it's not quite as effective. Food is very important. I'm not going to, because I'm talking mainly about herbs, you can look up on the web all the foods that are particularly helpful. You won't be surprised to find that they're all the ones that I recommend commonly. They're not expensive. They're, you know, pumpkin seeds and bananas and sardines and all of those things. But that's if you don't have the essential fatty acids and the nutrients and the absence of the inflammatory herbs, you're kind of, you know, you want an open gate for herbs to work. And that's kind of like they have to push against a gate that's fighting in the opposite direction. So that's how I would put it. And nobody's perfect. You just want to do the best you can. Water, hydration, I've no science for this, but people who are well hydrated, everything functions better. So I don't see why sleep would be any exception. You want to hydrate mostly in the beginning of the day. After 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you want to have sips of, you know, water or whatever, rather than big glasses, because then you're waking up to empty your bladder. It's all very sensible, isn't it? Alcohol, sometimes people turn to alcohol to self-medicate for insomnia. Very bad idea. Kicks you on the way back for very sensible reasons. Other things that people don't consider is the seasons. We probably need more sleep in the winter than the summer. Cycles and transitions, the moon, menstrual cycle, menopause, andropause, men's hormone systems all change as well. So they can have a big influence on people's sleeping patterns. Breastfeeding, if you'd call that a cycle, is a lot of disturbance of sleep with small children, babies, breastfeeding in particular. But also a lot of women, after the babies are sleeping well, they've got into the habit of not sleeping. looking after parents with dementia is another, it's another issue for people. They're on duty, they're listening. You know, it's like when you're on call as a doctor, you don't get the same sleeping, even if you're not disturbed. All right. So they're all issues. Noise can be an issue if you're living in cities or if you just have the neighbours from hell. You know, and again, people can get out of the habit of sleeping well and the neighbours move on and they, lo and behold, can't sleep. These are all very amenable to herbal medicines. Over-responsibilities, you know, where people have too much responsibility for too many things and they can't share them. Very hard to delegate, hard to say no. Sometimes it's impossible to say no. So what you want, the herbs can help kind of override some of the chronic effects by adaptogens. Play and fun, too little of both. And we mentioned pain, especially the hips and shoulders. So solutions are exercise throughout the day, not particularly, don't do triathlon sports just before you go to bed. Mindfulness, prayer, reflection and contemplation, and daydreaming. Two things in my memory is the older generation kneeling down and praying before they went to sleep, before they got into bed. But also you were absolutely, you know, daydreaming was, no, what are you doing there? You're daydreaming, you know, do something with yourself, get busy. You weren't allowed to daydream. Daydreaming is when we solve problems. And dreaming, night dreaming as well, seems to be part of that. Breathing problems or breathing patterns is a better description of it. A lot of my patients with insomnia and anxiety, they breathe too shallow and too fast. And I know this because by the time I'm finished the consultation, I'm breathing too shallow. We mirror the people around us, all right? And so when I notice my own breathing is getting too shallow and too fast, I can say to the patient, you know, are you aware that your breathing is too shallow and fast? And they sometimes they're aware of it. And other people have commented on it, often associated with sighing, you know, because every so often the body just needs a reset because it's not got optimum oxygen. We're not talking about a medical condition here, but every so often the body goes, and it gets a good intake, you know. But working on breathing patterns can be very useful. Aromatherapy, putting the essential oils on your pillow as an aroma spray with distilled water, they're all very pleasant. Epsom salt baths. Oh. Oh my God, the barbarity of people taking the baths out and hopefully having showers. Epsom salt baths do two things, the heat, the magnesium, the salts, it helps with sweating, but it's also a source of magnesium, and magnesium definitely has an impact on sleep. As always with herbal medicine, there's some things that you're going to hear me say over and over. Everybody is sick of hearing me saying it. When you want to use the herbs as medicines in a systematic way, which is reasonable and logical, because I love reason and logical. And when it's in combination with the long traditional history, I figure, yay, we're onto a good thing. So herbal medicine, go early, go when it's mild to moderate. And if you wait until you have severe insomnia for 18, 20, 25 years, then be prepared to spend 2 years going to the herbalist. If somebody comes to me as a GP with insomnia, what do I have? Sleeping tablets, anxiety medication, and they're addictive, and after 10 to 14 days, they don't work, all right? So you can go and you can get sleeping tablets and still be on them for 2 years, paying for your medicine and your doctor's appointments, but they're not working, and it's the same length of time. So this comes on to one of the points I have about research. Research asks a single question of a single constituent that, and it measures a quantifiable effect to simple single questions, all right? And that is, if you have something that adjusts your physiology, for example, 0.01% over a period of time, it takes a long time for that to be quantifiable, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't improve the quality of your life, okay? So this is one of the limitations. If you look at sleeping tablets in a short-term clinical trial, it'll be very helpful. You'll be prescribed it all over the place. But if you look at 6 months down the road, it's not likely to be helpful and you have the side effects. Whereas the herbal medicines, it's going to need a longer lead-in time to show a benefit. But the benefit is likely to be sustained, simple, no side effects, not addictive. So this is why the different, I introduced different models of looking at how to use herbs. So it's easy. That was a nice place to do that, make that point. Important to treat underlying conditions, to connect with emotions, deal with the difficult one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Celebrate the happy ones. Yay, yay, yay. Get help. Physical health care. We've talked about all of those. To be aware of energetic changes influencing your life, the energy of the food, the energy of the people around you, the energy that's associated with your breathing, the vitality of your food, and how you are in your spirits. These are all important for anxiety and insomnia. Keep a journal. Write down every day. Tear it up. Set it on fire. You know, don't set the house on fire. But destroy it, shred it. It's not rational. It's just word association. Stream of consciousness. Pretend you're James Joyce, all right, or Gertrude Stein. And you can stroke a pet. I like to say, so long as it's not a goldfish, because they don't like it.
No, you don't.
Now, here's a biggie for today. Unplug. Unplug your Facebook. Unplug your YouTube, your social media, your everything. That's, that's important for everybody. But if you have insomnia, hey, guys, let's make it happen. It's painful, but make it happen. So the herbs I have to discuss, and we'll do this in two parts. I'll tell you the herbs, and we can write these in the summary as well. Ashwagandha or withania, same herb. Chamomile, hawthorn, rhodiola, bitter orange peel, lavender, a herb of grace, verbena and damiana. And one more, holy basil, ossimum sanctum. Now, I have to say, guys, I want to share this with you. If I say these in the botanical name, they really do it for me. Withania somnifera, Chamomilla matricaria, Crataegus oxycantha, or species, Rhodiola rosea radix, Citrus aurantium, bitter orange peel, bear with me, have patience, Lavangula officinalis, Bacopa monieri, Verbena officinale, Turnera diffusa, and Ossimum sanctum. This isn't a silly point. One of the reasons I loved the herbal medicine, even from the very beginning, is the poetry, the language, the tradition, the folklore. Yes, the fact that it's been written about since Oum was written in the ancient Gaelic language. Anyway, and the Latin name also gives us a clue as to the usefulness of Withania somnifera, otherwise known as ashwagandha. And somnifera derives from sleep-inducing, translation in Latin. So language is very important. So as I said, I'm going to talk about the research of these herbs, because I can talk about the tradition and the folklore and people will go, oh, but there's no scientific evidence. This is a recurring theme, common understanding, a reason for resistance, a prejudice and a stereotype that doesn't ring true. I'm going to give the scientific evidence for using these herbs for these conditions. But if I was to look up irritable bowel syndrome, if I was to look up chronic constipation, if I was to look up depression, if I was to look up rheumatoid arthritis, if I was to look up allergies, I would find similar rich research evidence that are never seen by doctors because they're never presented at postgraduate learning events and they're hidden in full view. I didn't need a degree to search for withania somnifera and anxiety, withania somnifera and depression. You put PubMed after it, and if you don't over rely on AI, because you know maybe in 10 years' time it might be much more specific. But you want to still be. I'll come back a little bit at the end of the second part into what to look for in some of this research. Okay. But it's not that there's no research. So that's the reason why I'm emphasizing research. It's to make the point not only about these conditions, but also, yes, there is evidence. And it's not hard to find. So there you go. So a 2017 CURT study provides a scientific validation to the anxiolytic, anti-inflammatory and anti-apoptotic. See, regular medicine has lovely words as well.
Say it again.
Anti-apoptotic. And that means that it strengthens the cell so that it doesn't die prematurely. A common understanding would be anti-cancer properties of withania. And this medical plant may be recommended as a suitable dietary supplement to ameliorate the negative effects associated with sleep deprivation. And this fits in with its traditional use, which is as an adaptogen herb, which is to cope with chronic stress. And that's a common condition for those with anxiety and insomnia. Furthermore, animal studies using this herb show that obese rats demonstrate less anxiety and show benefits to insulin levels and leptin. Leptin is one of the herbs that controls satiety and therefore food intake. They positively benefit markers of inflammation. And this is where I said some of the side effects of the herbs. Adjunctive effects is probably a better word. But people think they're not the main effects that we're looking for in this context. But in this context, they also have a positive effect on background chronic inflammation, for instance.
Whoa.
Whoa. See? Whoa. Okay. 5 studies concluded that withania somnifera intervention resulted in greater score improvements, significantly in most cases, that's clinical significance, than placebo in outcomes on anxiety or stress scales.
Interesting.
Interesting. So there's some of the research studies that are available on the ashwagandha. And now we'll go on to chamomile. So randomized controlled clinical tests found a significant advantage for chamomile over placebo in the acute phase treatment of generalized anxiety disorder, with a response rate comparable to that of tested anxiolytics and antidepressant therapies for generalized anxiety disorder. Cool.
I love it.
Okay. So I can already kind of hear the cogs in people's mind going, I never knew that. And here's a very nice one. The use of chamomile extract showed that it can significantly improve sleep quality among elderly people. And that was 2017 also. And now we'll go on to hawthorn. In conclusion, the administration of an association of Melissa officinalis, which is lemon balm, Crataegus oxycantha, which is the hawthorn, calcium and magnesium induced a clear dose-dependent sedative effect in mice. Okay, so there's two things that combining herbs is often more beneficial effect. And there's no reason not to use them with foods that are rich in magnesium and calcium, right? Foods that are rich in both of those things and have an Epsom salts bath. You know, you see, when you test in a randomized controlled trial, you can just test one of those things in general. And in fact, a lot of the time, they just test a constituent rather than the whole herb. And there's implications to that as well. Now, hawthorn, we can go and pick the leaves anytime from April to September. And then from September on, we can use the hawthorn berries. And both are helpful in terms of nutrition for heart. All right. This was a very nice piece of research, but we don't have a huge amount of research about hawthorn and anxiety or hawthorn and sleep, because nearly all of the research is done on hawthorn and the heart and blood pressure and the cardiovascular system. But if you strengthen the heart and if you help with disheartened, people who are disheartened, disembodied, disempowered, disembodied, right? They have no connection with their own body. And you nourish the heart, are you likely to benefit the anxiety? Katrina's shaking her head. If you feel your heart is stronger, your cardiovascular system is strengthened, it would make your anxiety better.
It would improve it.
Yeah. Okay. The lemon balm, hawthorn, calcium and magnesium induced a clear dose-dependent. The dose-dependent sedative is very important because it shows that it's not that there's a threshold above which a dose is effective and that that's consistent. This was an animal study. One test suggested that it could also have anxiolytic properties, and this affirms the herbal medicinal products may be beneficial in treating minor sleep disorders and mild anxiety symptoms. There is a proviso that's in mice. We also have massive amount of, a very consistent amount of support for the use of hawthorn for the cardiovascular system. which is non-specific for anxiety. That's like an associated leap. There is another proof. I call animal studies proof of concept, right? So there's evidence that this is likely to be beneficial in humans, but it's you can't automatically say that. Herbal medicine products, including hawthorn, can be used as an alternative for the treatment of minor sleep disorders and mild anxiety. Okay, there's also a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled study to evaluate the efficacy and safety of a fixed combination containing the two plant extracts, which are the hawthorn and lemon balm, and magnesium in mild to moderate anxiety. And this combination proved safe and more effective than placebo in treating mild to moderate anxiety disorders. This was a research study on hawthorn and Californian poppy, Eschscholzia californica. So not only is hawthorn and melissa and magnesium helpful, a different study showed benefits of hawthorn and Californian poppy, and that was the gold standard, the self-appointed gold standard of double-blind randomized placebo-controlled study. Okay. Say it again. Proved safe and more effective than placebo in treating moderate anxiety disorders. All right. And people might go, well, why doesn't my doctor suggest this? Because your doctor isn't aware of it. I wasn't taught this in medical school. None of my postgraduate medical studies have anything in relation to this. So expecting your doctor to know about herbal medicines is not unexpected. In the same way that going into a shoe shop and asking for a silver ring would be equally inappropriate. I would love to say that they aren't, but they are. The answer to why they didn't teach me about herbal medicine in medical school is in my upcoming book, jointly written with Tim Morrissey, and it's about uprooted medicine. And please, please let us know if you're interested in being part of a group that would be promoting the impact of this information. Okay. You can just email us. We'd be very interested in keeping you in the group. I'm looking for a group of 300 people, a herb wide web to promote this. And you can see why. This is all the evidence that I'm aware of that they didn't teach me and that I had to go elsewhere to learn. But I think many doctors are very interested in it, and they have equally been disempowered, you know, to using only a very narrow evidence based on single constituents.
We look forward to you joining us on this journey of exploration and learning with Dr. Dailish Clare, and we'll be back with you very soon. So thank you very much, and stay tuned.